And he's like, I only have eyes for your titties. My heart only glows with passion for your boobs. And so, as he's saying this, he stands up, charges his energy, and shoves her face into his crotch. Song Abnormalize from the anime Psychopass by the artist Toshite Sigure. This is episode 152 of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, where our sole mission is to make your anime addiction worse. This is episode 152. I am Chiaki, and I am joined by my co-host today.
Mitsugi, what's up?
Yes, Mitsugi in the house.
In the early AM in Japan.
The things we do for you. The things we do. You can find us at AAApodcast.com. iTunes, please drop us a rating on iTunes if you like us. We greatly appreciate it. Facebook.com/AnimeAddictsAnonymousPodcast. And ustream.tv/channel/anime-addicts-anonymous-podcast, where we broadcast live from Japan every Sunday night at 8 p.m. EST or 9 a.m. JST.
JST, yeah. I don't know how many people in Japan are actually listening, but...
Yeah, probably not many. I mean, if I had to take a guess, at least. But, anyways, so we had one new forum member this week. Welcome, Darth Xavier. You are definitely maybe the only one, but you are still special in my heart.
Does that make picking the forum name for the week even easier?
I think it does. I think it does indeed.
Maybe it just removes the process of picking altogether. Okay, then.
Indeed.
So, your trivia was also hard.
My trivia was hard. The answer was Shonen... Onmyoji. Sorry.
Onmyoji. I have never even heard of this.
Wow.
So the people that knew it, hats off to you.
Those who knew it were Mad Tyrant 1384, Leave It to Me, and Zin 1. And the week winner was Zin 1. So congratulations. The new trivia is already up.
Bye. Oh, snap.
Just like that. That's how I do. But the theme is still old Japan for this current cycle. Birthdays! A big happy birthday to Ichigo Pocky Sticks, who turned 18. Oh, yay! You're an adult if you're in America. I mean, I think that's in a pretty standard across the world, but...
Some people think that.
Lil Too Nutty.
Some people are mem on their 13.
Chess Chocolate. Radical Ed. Aww, Radical Ed turned 16. Happy sweet 16. Amish Priest. Justin 14. Silence. Clockwork Hama. And Quest Life. I'm gonna go with that.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay.
Happy birthday, your birthday music.
Happy birthday, everyone.
Tonari no Totoro from the anime Tonari no Totoro by Joe Hisaishi.
Na
This is my jam. It's my jam. It is.
It's your jam. All right. Well, Mitsugi is jamming over there. We have some An Almighty Anime mailbags. If you want to submit an mailbag, go to the main page at www.aaapodcast.com. There is a tab called Mailbag. So, these mailbags this week comes from Lala Dreamer 121. I know that Avatar The Last Airbender and its spin-off series, Legend of Korra, are not anime. However, I'd still like to hear your opinion on the series and what it could mean for future types of animated dramas. Could this lead to American anime?
My answer to this question is very negative, so maybe you should answer.
Well, I go back to the whole fact that originally anime was a term for animation in Japan. So under that respect, you could argue that American anime was the original anime because it was used to refer to things like Disney films and stuff when they came over to Japan and things like that. However, that being said, as we've discussed many times before, I think that even if the style itself becomes more prevalent in America, I think the fact is that no matter the content, cartoons culturally will still remain one of those things that we perceive to be for children, and as a result, that will always hold the genre back. I don't know what could change that perspective in the American population.
It is early.
I don't know what could change that perspective in the American population, what a shift like that would take. But I just don't feel like you can properly have anime being respected as a medium as it is in Japan in many ways, in America, until that shift occurs. And that's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, it really depends on what you think makes anime anime. I mean, some people give it the old, it's the content, you know, so it's the rich storylines, it's the unabashed violence that's in anime. Or some people think that it's who actually is drawing or creating the animation. Is it done in America? Is it done in Japan?
Yeah.
You know, you have that whole story. And really, there's a lot of animation that in America that's already produced overseas. And I cite one of my favorites, the Boondocks, because it's all, pretty much every animator is from Korea. So, and you could, you know, now the question is Korea considered anime? I kind of think it is, but
I mean, the definition as production and everything else is becoming more globalized, the definition is shifting. I think the best thing Avatar The Last Airbender did was, I think the best thing it did was it brought more of a light to the fact, because it does have some more mature themes. I mean, the series does get to a point where it does get dark and it does handle subject matter that you wouldn't think associated with only children. And I think a lot of people really did recognize it for that fact, which I think is probably one of the biggest contributions that it made. Because otherwise, I feel like people just look at it and go, oh, it's another one of those shows them kids are into these days, you know, like that kind of thing.
Like them Digimons and Pokemons. Ancient Pokemon.
So, on that respect, I do think that, you know, Avatar might have been onto something and might have paved the way for studios to take a chance on more shows that, that, you know, are in that vein. So maybe in that respect, yeah, maybe it is good for American anime, but I think the definition of what American anime is just too broad, and I don't know how you, Lala Dreamer 121, want to define it. So, overall, I think Avatar The Last Airbender, I haven't watched it. It's on my watch list if I, you know, ever have some free time. I think my opinion is summed up in that, basically what I said, is that it brought some more adult themes to a show that was widely enough popular that people could see the medium being used as a way to transfer those themes, but...
Well, I haven't really seen any shows since Avatar that, you know, people say that where you have the argument between is it anime or not.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just out of touch with with what's on American TV nowadays.
With what them kids are into these days.
Even if there were more animated dramas that people loved and people called anime or whatever in the States, anime is a subculture even in Japan.
Yeah.
Being here for the last 6 weeks has solidified that in my mind more so than ever. So if anime is a subculture in the homeland of anime, do not ever expect anime to be anything more than a subculture in America.
Yeah.
Because it's just not going to happen. But
true story.
Second question. Barefort writes, with all the anime, with people with crazy and unique abilities, assemble your own 5-man team. I feel like we've had a lot of these questions.
We have. All right.
All I can think of is shonen characters, because they're always the strongest. This question's difficult because there's not really any specific circumstance placed on it. Like, it's not like we have to fight off a horde of army ants, or, you know, the world's ending, repopulate the earth, or whatever.
Yeah.
So maybe someone in the chat will give us a scenario while we're thinking.
I don't know. I feel like since there's no scenario given, can just pick whatever.
Just pick whatever the heck you want.
Whatever the heck we want. Who would I really like to talk to from it? I would pick the Nanas from Nana, because I'd want to hang out with them. So that would be two.
Big, like, orgy?
Not an orgy. Unless I'm with men and thinking that whenever girls want, like, time to themselves, it's because of, like, they're having kinky lesbianism. I want to hang out with the Nanas. I'd want to hang out with the main girl from Chihayafuru. Add the musical girl from Tari Tari. And one more. Oh, no. Take off the musical girl from Tari Tari.
Make up your mind already.
I want, Sadako from, or no, Sawako? Sawako from...
You want Sadako?
I don't want Sadako.
So she can kill all of your other team members? Great.
I want Sawako from Kimi ni Todoke. And I want Sawako's one of the two best friends, because I think with those five girls, we could go to the mall and we could have a great, great, great time.
All right. Thank you for that.
Welcome.
I will take Dr. Tenma from Monster because he's awesome. Okay. I'll take Goku because he'd kill anybody.
Okay.
I'll take, who's the hottest anime girl on Earth? One of the girls from Ikitosen, just because they're hot and we can just stare at them.
Okay.
And I'll take Nausicaa because she can fly her glider and find food. And I'll take Gon from Hunter x Hunter because he has cool hair. That's it. There you go. Very arbitrary answer. Okay, so interesting. So what are we talking about today?
We are talking about a requested topic, didn't make the cut, let's revive it, requested by Soul Rogue. We are also doing impressions on Xeon Saga DT and Magi, or Mangi, depending on how you, you know, want to pronounce that. And we have reviews for Konanaka ni Hitoriyum Imoto ga Iru and Dakara Boku wa H ga Dekinai, which should be fantastic. So, don't go anywhere. Council presidents out there, this is Chiaki, and this is your Anime News Break. First up, the official Twitter account for the anime adaptation of Slef's Brothers conflict romance novel project confirmed the anime staff this past week. The staff was announced earlier during the Dengeki 20th Anniversary Festival. Jun Matsumoto from Night Raid 1931 and Persona Trinity Soul is directing the anime at the studio Brains Base, who was behind Bakano, Natsume's Book of Friends, Dudadada, and My Little Monster. The original project centers around a girl who suddenly gains 11 stepbrothers from 32 years old down to 11 years old when her father remarries. She joins the Asahina family under one roof at the Sunrise Residence Complex. So it doesn't sound particularly impressive, but the staff maybe gives me some hope for it. But you know what they say about hope, it's a tricky thing and, well, normally lets you down. In other news, relating to a game provider that has given us many anime-related video games, or just video games that the anime community loves in general, Square Enix licensed Unreal Engine 4. Epic Games recently announced that it has signed an agreement with the video game developer Square Enix, granting Square Enix a group-wide license to develop multiple games with Epic Games' Unreal Engine 3 and Unreal Engine 4 technology. The Square Enix published game Demon's Score for iOS and Android devices was created with the Unreal Engine 3 technology, so perhaps more anime-related games, or just games that you will love in general, will be produced as a result of this new partnership. And last but certainly not least, Japanese publisher Shueisha published the top 10 manga titles from its weekly Shonen Jump magazine by volume sales as of February 2012. They are Yu Yu Hakusho, Rurouni Kenshin, Hunter x Hunter, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Bleach, Slam Dunk, Naruto, Kochi Kame, Dragon Ball, and, way ahead of the pack, One Piece. Shueisha's advertising media guide also revealed the results of reader surveys for its various magazines, including which game systems their readers play, how much and how their readers use their New Year's gift money, and where their readers are from, as well as the age ranges of those readers. So it's some pretty interesting demographic information of the anime community that has been published. Weekly Shonen Jump began its run in 1968, and Viz Media began releasing an American English language version of Shonen Jump in 2002 that ended its run in print earlier this year. So, this was Chiaki, and this was your Anime News Break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back to the show soon.
So you want to hear people talk about Japanese cartoons?
You know, anime.
But you think the other anime podcasters just aren't nerdy enough?
Sounds like you need to join forces with the Anime World Order,
where each week, three self-proclaimed experts offer you reviews
of titles both new and classic, news and commentary,
rants, convention reports, interviews with fandom,
and some hentai and yaoi for good measure.
So search for anime in the iTunes Music Store.
Or visit our website at animeworldorder.com.
Anime World Order, revealing the truth about anime, one podcast at a time.
Hey, Steve Bloom here, voice of Spike Spiegel, Vincent Valentine,
Leron from Gurren Lagann.
And I am a total anime addict, dude. Tune in, or else.
And we're back to the 152nd episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. We have reached our main topic section. This topic was requested by Soul Rogue, and the title is Didn't Make the Cut, Let's Revive It. So, there are some anime that doesn't make you want to see more of it, and it fizzled before the actual ending. This is the perfect time to give it life support and decide to change a few things around to try to make it better. So thank you, Soul Rogue. I think the way that we are reading this topic, and we are going to let you guys know in advance so you can see the approach we're taking to it, is we're looking at it in the way that these are anime that could have been great, maybe even. Okay, they could have been a lot better.
I have some anime on my list that there's no way they could possibly have been great ever.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay. Well...
But if that's the approach you want to take with some of them, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, they could have been a lot better. However, something happened along the way. They lost their way. They the directors made creative decisions, whatever the case may be.
They lost their soul. They lost the heart.
The anime just kind of ended up fizzling.
They lost the viewer.
Yes. And so this is kind of, I feel like this topic is more than just the ending sucked. Because you can have a show like Berserk, which is amazing, up until the ending. And this is more that show that you start watching and it's really good. And then about halfway through, you kind of are going, why did I ever start this to begin with? And then you go on like a weekend vacation and you stop watching it and then you never pick it up again. So, would you like to go first, Mitsugi?
Oh, I guess. I'll pick one from my list here. Oh, an easy one to start us off. Curt little softball question. How about K-On! Season 2? Yeah. K-On! I actually didn't mind so much the first season of K-On! You know, it was short. Mm-hmm. It was cute. It was new. You know, relatively new, I guess. There was enough actual focus on the music to make a person that liked music interested.
Uh-huh.
But K-On! Season 2, it's a full 26 episodes. So some poor soul sat through this for half a year. By that poor soul, I mean me. And K-On! Season 2, it just... they didn't really have enough substance to make this to make it work for 26 episodes. I have a feeling that the first season was so successful that whoever, whatever TV channel it was on, commissioned the studio to make another season, and they were like, well, you know, the first one's such a big deal, let's make the second one twice as long so we can have twice as much ad revenue. Yay! And, you know, twice as many figures and things sold. But K-On! Season 2 just didn't have the energy to get itself to the finish line. Mm-hmm. And so you get to, like, episode 14, and you just think to yourself, well, there's nothing else to do.
Yeah.
And so they end up having just a fistful of worthless episodes. Episodes where they're doing, like, walk-a-thons and all this bullshit that no one cares about. And I don't know, unless you like watching fluff filler, you lose what the first K-On! Was about, which was fluff filler and music.
Yeah.
So.
Alright.
I know you didn't really watch K-On! Season 2, but...
yeah.
You spared yourself from that torment.
One of the ones that I have on here is one of the ones that I recently reviewed, so I'll get it out of the way first. And that's Tasogare Otome X Amnesia. I'm not going to go on another rant, but I feel like this is one of those shows that if it had found itself sooner, in the sense of there was kind of pointless filler that dragged it down a bit and then didn't try to please everyone at the end, it could have been much better.
Are you still going on and on about this?
I just said I wasn't going to rant about it.
Silence. Says it all.
This is awkward. Alright, I'm done.
I don't know. I don't think Tasogare Otome X Amnesia really fits into this topic. Because it was fine until the last 8 seconds. So, like...
It wasn't fine, though. That's the problem.
But the end wasn't... The last 8 seconds wasn't fine. But I sort of view the topic as anime that started to suck at, like, 60% of the way through. Anyway, whatever. You're giving me the evil glare. The Chiaki glare. It pierces through my soul.
Should be so lucky to have the Chiaki glare.
I'll throw one out to the mech fans out there. Maybe you will not like this. I couldn't get through Die Guard. I know. I don't think you've seen this.
That's
Chiaki,
the one where they're ripping off their shirts when they go like Mech Super Saiyan, right?
No.
Oh.
I think you're talking about Die Buster.
That one.
No, Die Buster was so short it can't even be a part of this category because it was only, I think, 6 episodes maybe.
Uh huh.
But Die Guard was just, it was kind of like it's been years. Die Guard was an anime about office workers, I think, if I recall correctly, that pilot a giant mech to basically protect the Earth from monsters, which is the same story that happens in every mech anime that's about monsters. So, you know, I got like 8 episodes into it, and it has some okay characters, but, you know, you just don't see anything new on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
I picture myself watching another Evangelion or Razaphon or Big O or, you know, throw any number of mech fighting Monster of the Week in there.
Yeah.
And when you just don't see anything on the horizon, it just kind of makes you not want to continue. Maybe I'm the only one that feels like that, but I know that some people do like Die Guard, but it does have a catchy theme song. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Yeah. My next one on my list is that I'll do. This one you can contribute to. I put Dot Hack Sign on here.
This is a great one. You picked a great one here.
Because Dot Hack Sign, especially if you consider the time it came out, you know, it was the original of the series. It had a lot of the novel concept. It was one of the first anime to really make it big and popular. That was about, you know, playing video games and getting stuck in the, you know, MMO world and things like that. So it had a lot that was going for it, but then it was like halfway through the series, it became so damn boring. And I don't know, by the time we reached the end, I was just like, whatever.
God, Dot Hack has this problem. I mean, for those of you that played Dot Hack the game, and good Lord knows that I am suckered into every Dot Hack thing that ever comes out on the franchise. I've watched every anime. I played all the games. I played the first part of Roots, the game, and then decided that I didn't want to buy four games again. Although I did enjoy Dot Hack Sign, the games. Those were good. But that anime, it just, if you've played the games, you know that the action in it isn't really that great.
No.
And so you're watching the anime, and there's a lot of just a lot of talking with really beautiful music.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the action sequences, and they're not really that good. So you know that the anime is really just for MMO players.
Yeah.
They're the only people that can relate to this anime. And I'm an MMO player, or at least I was, so I can relate to it, but this anime loses the viewer because it just is, it's too damn slow. And you get to the, you know, the middle section of the show where they're trying to fish out the mystery behind the Twilight and all that, you know, the bracelet and everything. It's just too slow for the viewer, and especially if you're watching one episode a week.
Yeah.
So I think if I was doing this, if I was trying to make this thing better, I would shorten it. And I would certainly have more action sequences in the middle because, I mean, it just drags way too much. And, yeah, I just think that, you know, rather than have 26 episodes of rambling, you could just shorten it.
Yeah.
And put a couple more spicy action scenes in it, and people would be happier.
Yeah.
Yeah, but all in all, I actually do like Dot Hack Sign.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, I really enjoyed Dot Hack Sign when I first watched it, and I thought the costumes were awesome, and it holds a special place in my heart. I just think that, again, it goes back to that whole, maybe it wasn't the most awful piece of shit in the world, but it could have been so much better if they'd just done a few things.
Mm.
So.
Another good one, Ergo Proxy.
Mm.
Ergo Proxy is probably one that you can opine on more than I can, but I threw it on here because I knew that it belonged in the category, at least for us. But
Here's the thing with Ergo Proxy for me, and this is one of those dangerous things that a lot of shows, and I think you can make a case for Boogie Pop Phantom to also be on here in the same vein.
Okay.
A lot of shows that have a really, really deep philosophical message have a challenge to convey that message in a way that is not so simple that it cheapens the message, but is simple enough to be accessible by the viewer it is trying to reach.
I fully agree.
And so, I mean, it's kind of like a... The way I look at it is it's like if you had a quantum physics textbook.
Yeah.
And you would look at the textbook and you would go, oh my God, this is impossible. But when you take it chapter by chapter, all of a sudden you finish the book and you look back and you go, whoa, I get it, you know, like that kind of thing. And so
you've had this experience with textbooks?
Well, like, not quantum physics, but like with some science books, like when I first get the science book, I'm like, there's no way I'm gonna understand the stuff in this book. And then it's like throughout the semester when you take it like in little bite-sized chunks at a time,
usually I'm like, what did I just read? I read this paragraph, but I was completely thinking about something else. And so I have no idea what I just read. I guess I should read it again.
But And I feel like anime, if it's going to tackle those kinds of subjects, it needs to approach it in the same way. And I feel like that is a very, very difficult thing to do. And it's not necessarily that I feel like Ergo Proxy or Boogie Pop Phantom or anything else necessarily.
Oh my god, there's a lot of animes like this.
Yeah, Serial Experiments Lane is another one that comes to mind for me.
Technolize.
It's not that they're necessarily doing anything that's wrong. It's just they're doing something that's really, really difficult to do. And I think they get acclaim because the people who can grasp it are like, oh my god, that's amazing. And it really might be. But I think it's one of those shows that there is a limit, I feel like, to how much you can expect people to put in when you are dealing with a pleasure entertainment thing. And I think that sometimes shows like Ergo Proxy will lose the viewer because they're expecting more of the viewer than the average viewer should be expected to give.
I think that animes like Ergo Proxy are, I can't fault them for trying to be complex and have a difficult message or even a simple message that they try to convey in an interesting and unique way.
Yeah.
But these are shows that people watch once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, and when you have, especially if you're a person that's watching multiple anime or doesn't have a particularly amazing memory, having a show like Ergo Proxy that has quite a fair amount of convolution in it, at least for me,
it's a difficult
thing to do when you're forcing the viewer to wait, you know, a series of 1 week periods. It might work better as like a novel, and I'm sure it's probably a graphic novel, but
I think the other thing I have to say about this whole kind of notion is I think it also depends on how, like, if you're approaching a really difficult subject, I feel like what a lot of these anime do is they introduce something completely new to the viewer in, like, the last, like, two or three episodes. It's not, like, an explanation. It's, like, a whole new thing that's part of the explanation. And so you have to then process everything that's new, you know, on top of trying to process the original.
Yeah.
And so even if it goes together, I feel like it's one of those things where, you know, it loses viewers that way. So I feel like if I could make Ergo Proxy, you know, better, since that was what we started with, I would really take the message, and I know this is going to sound like a cheesy, like, cop-out answer, but it's really not intended to be. I would almost take the message and start from square one. Like, keep the same things that the series has, because I feel like the series has some good things. It has some great atmosphere. It has some decent action. It has some decent action series. You know, whatever else that the case may be. But I would take it and maybe kind of say, okay, does it make sense to introduce this here or here? Do we need to hold this topic here until this point or this point? Should we foreshadow this a little heavier? Should we have a scene that cuts you into, you know, the government doing experiments earlier? Should we have a character that narrates an explanation that is, okay, yeah, maybe a little kind of forced, but helps the viewer understand what's going on at those integral points so that they don't go back, finish the episode and go, I really should watch that again because I don't think I understood what happened.
You know, it seems like the chat generally agrees with us.
Yeah.
Several people have admitted to not finishing Ergo Proxy.
Yeah.
It's also too damn dark. Just not pretty. I know I'm not all about that, but, I mean, good lord. They used a lot of gray.
Someone asked in the chat, and just to finish this up, they asked, which did we think did a better job? Boogie Pop Phantom, Ergo Proxy, or Serial Experiments Lane?
Oh, dear lord.
At getting their point across.
It's definitely not Boogie Pop Phantom.
I was thinking Serial Experiments Lane.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
I mean,
I sort of agree. Boogie Pop Phantom probably did the worst job. And and by all accounts, I think a lot of people would probably say the Boogie Pop Phantom is probably the best of the three.
Yeah.
But most people haven't seen it, to my knowledge.
I mean, I liked Boogie Pop Phantom, but I was even more, the hell is this, watching Boogie Pop Phantom.
You just get high on something and just dismiss it. It's like, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it, but as far as, like, getting any kind of message across, I was just like, I got more from Virgo Proxy and Lane.
You can watch Boogie Pop Phantom and then immediately afterwards go read synopsis online and you still won't understand.
That's one of my favorite things ever is when you read a synopsis online of what you just watched and it is totally different than what you got from it. You're like, did I watch the wrong episode? A good example, because astrophysics just brought up a good point, again, to really end the topic, or this anime, is Haibane Renmei. That is an anime that deals with difficult topics, but introduces them in bite-sized chunks, and also doesn't make the entire success of the anime dependent upon the person getting it.
Yeah, Haibane Renmei is a difficult anime, but it's also incredible, and the creator does a great job.
Yeah.
The thing about Haibane Renmei is that I think that a lot of it is up to the viewer's interpretation.
Yeah.
So there's no one right answer. Whereas these other three anime that we've mentioned have a specific meaning, and if you don't get it, you didn't get it. So.
Or at least have
that's
enough,
how I felt.
At least have enough difficult components that to draw your own conclusion, you have to understand the difficult components, and that's difficult.
All right. Next up.
All right. My next one that I put on here is Ute Wareru Mono.
Oh, God. Rakshai!
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 This is one of those anime that's on the list that, you know, even if you fix it, it's not going to be great just because it's a glorified harem anime. It really is. There's one dude and there's a lot of chicks.
There's a few dudes.
Okay.
There's the dual blade guy. He doesn't get any chicks, though.
And a lot of chicks.
What the hell? This anime... Oh, my God. Can we just... Uta Wareru Mono is this series. It's very similar to Tears to Tiara in, like, the conquest aspect of it. You have, like, a ruler. You know, he's a little strange, but charismatic. And so... He starts to win battles and along the way acquires powerful warriors and just keeps winning more and more battles. But both of these anime have really jacked up endings. And they lose the meaning in the middle, I think, by just having too much of the battle. I mean, it's like, we get it, he's a conqueror.
Yeah, Uta Wareru Mono, I feel like it started getting a little boring with just, you know, we're going here and we're uniting this and we're doing this and we're blah, blah, blah. But then it was like, then they kind of had that little bit with like the Angel Girls or something. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm starting to get a tickling of a story. And then they made a 180 and completely went in a direction that I was like.
It was a 540, actually.
540, okay.
It spun around and then did a 180.
I was like, I really was like, what the beep is this?
It loses the viewer because it's just too long.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people love battle scenes and fighting scenes, and Uta Wareru Mono certainly doesn't have bad action sequences.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can only watch so many of the same battle over and over again. And then at the end of it, you know, it's just like, what the hell happens? Because what the hell is his name? Rakshine turns into a giant beast monster, and then
he's like God or something.
And then he wakes up in like a science lab, and I mean, like, I'm not even gonna try to talk about what this is about.
He's mad.
But I mean, if you're gonna do that in an anime, you at least need to foreshadow it or something.
I feel like there should be a rule that an anime can't change what it's about halfway through the series or any point after that, because I feel like that's what Ute Wareru Mono tried to do. They were like, we're a conquer anime, we're gonna run around with kind of like our harem light and conquer stuff and blah blah blah, and then all of a sudden they were like, let's put in some deep philosophical meaning halfway through. They were like,
think about it, that anime ends with the twist and it gives no explanation at all. But I think if we were gonna make this anime better, it needs to, again, I think it needs to be shorter.
Yeah, I would agree. Shorter.
And I think it needs to be about conquest.
Yeah.
Make it actually a harem anime about conquest. For once, I'm agreeing. Make it a harem anime. take out the crap that doesn't make sense. Shorten the needless lengthiness of the fight scenes. You know, you don't need to have 15 followers. You can acquire like 8.
Yeah.
I mean, I realize that that changes what the anime is about completely, but no one watched this anime because they thought it was like some sci-fi, you know, twist at the end BS. Everyone wanted to watch it because it had cute... Everyone wanted to watch this because of the two girls with the furry cat ear things.
Yeah.
Udara and Erudu.
Erudu.
Erudu. Everybody wanted to watch this anime because of Erudu and not for the I woke up in a test tube at the end and then it ended 5 seconds later.
Thank you, Mitsugi.
Alright, my next anime on here might surprise you. But I threw Cobra the Animation on it.
What?
I did. At least the newer one. I really thought Cobra the Animation was an okay show for the first maybe four or five episodes. The first arc. But the problem with the show is that the other arcs suck.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's an arc, the whole thing is about climbing up a high mountain. I mean, who cares? And so when a show completely separates the story and, you know, you have anime that have story arcs, but they're linked by some plot out by some plot device, or they refer back to previous arcs and it builds upon, you know, the arcs build upon each other. Cobra the Animation is an arc is a show with story arcs where the only link between them is essentially Cobra. The story is completely different. The characters are different. Every arc has its own unique hot blonde girl. They're always blonde.
Yeah.
But it started to lose me as much as I like Cobra because he's such a manly character, because the latter arcs just suck. I don't know how to fix this, but I honestly lost interest halfway through. I finished it, but this was one of the shows that I watched during class in grad school. You sit in the back row in the corner and you watch anime. I don't know what else to say. You can only hear people talk about business plans so many times. I have no way of fixing this. I think maybe you make Cobra one big story. At least I'm referring specifically to the new one that came out like 4 years ago. Or 3 years ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
One big story with an interesting characters, an interesting story, and drop the three-story arc bullcrap.
Or, so. I feel like you have to go completely episodic with it. Like, I feel like Cobra could do well, okay. Like, Lupin.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
like,
fine. I agree. I think that's a great suggestion.
Like, maybe every episodic, or maybe, like, two episodes for, like, a to-be-continued every once in a while.
No, you're absolutely right. I think it could sort of be like Golgo.
Mm-hmm.
In that way, because Golgo is manly and it's cool, but most of the episodes are one shots, at least what I watched on Netflix.
Yeah.
But with Cobra, you're trapped in like a 5-episode story arc that sucks right off the bat, and you just know that you've committed to 5 episodes of crap.
Yeah.
And you know that right off the bat, so it's hard to watch it.
I mean, I just think if you did Cobra, like, you could do it as the most formulaic crap ever, and I think people would be so excited about it. Cobra, he arrives at a new planet or a new starship or whatever. There's a damsel in distress. He saves her. Mm. There's titties. Like,
oh, there are titties.
Like,
there's
titties.
There's titties in Golgo, too.
So, like, I feel like that is the solution.
Can I throw another one out here that basically has the same problem?
Sure.
That I think people in the chat are going to bitch about, maybe, because I know people like this show and I didn't.
Go for it.
And that is Level E.
Okay, I didn't watch this.
Level E came out like a year ago, and it's a show about an alien prince who comes from another planet. He's like a prankster, so he likes to pull pranks on people at their expense for his own entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Level E had some dreadful story arcs in it. I mean, dreadful. There was a story arc where I can't even remember. It was I think the prince gives he gives power to these kids, and it basically turns into an RPG element-esque story where these kids each have their own color. They're like the Power Rangers, and they have
heart.
They level up and they practice. It just lost me for the same reason.
All right.
Yeah. But a completely different show, and there was no manliness.
You know, while we're potentially pissing people off, I might as well get this one out of the way.
Okay, I know where you're going.
Darker Than Black. Darker Than Black, to me, is one of those series that it could have been really good, but they made a few decisions that I feel like, made the series boring and just not as good as it could have been.
Okay, please elaborate on this, because I am not well informed.
All right. Darker Than Black for me. Number one, I think that the punishments that the contractors have to do, super lame. I use my power. I have to smoke a cigarette.
Can I just throw something out real quick?
Yeah.
I made this point like a year ago. But there's an anime, Legend of the Legendary Heroes, which is not a good show. But there's a character in that show. He's like a king. He has this sword that he can basically obliterate a whole army with it in one swing, from a distance. And his punishment is like, I give up my eye. I literally saw off one of my legs. That's the punishment he has to
I'm
endure.
Not saying you have to go that extreme, but like, I feel like the show is trying to be really dark. Like, I feel like that's what the show's trying to be.
It does have it in the title.
That is true. It has that and black in the title. But like, I feel like it doesn't push itself far enough that it really can establish itself well in that respect in the genre. Have the contractors have to, like, I don't know, cut themselves or like break their fingers or something really gruesome. Like, I wouldn't mind having power if all I had to do was, well, I don't like smoking, but still, like, if
it's like,
I
here I have to have a Coke.
Yeah, like, I have to arrange matchsticks in order, and like, I know
that happen.
Yeah, I think one of the guys has to arrange, like, matchsticks or something.
I have to build a card house. Man up. Okay, so what else?
So there's that. The other thing that I feel like Darker Than Black falls into is it's another one of those stories that, or another one of those shows that's kind of, like, more on the side of generic shonen fighting type show. They tried at the end to throw too much plot in with the whole, like, Hell's Gate.
Did you finish
it
this?
It was like they introduced it in the beginning. Yeah, I watched Darker Than Black.
Wow, I feel like I should literally have an applause, like, sound effect for you right now.
But, like...
Just kidding, needless trolling.
But, like, they introduced, like, this stuff in the beginning, and then I feel like... And I know there's that whole, oh, it's character building and in-depth stuff, but... You know, it's either a show that's character building, as we've talked about ad nauseum, it's either a show that's character building and it's about the people and what they have to go through to be contractors, or it's about, you know, Hell's Gate and all the other stuff. So I feel like it kind of lost itself as it was going on and then tried to find itself again at the end. And at that point, you just didn't care about it. You were just like, I don't care about it at this point. And I'm not saying get rid of the killing or get rid of the violence. I'm saying channel that more to progress the story. Like, have them kill people and torture them, or torture them and then kill them for information.
I got you here.
Like,
there's an anime that most people have seen called X.
Uh-huh.
And I refer to the series, not the movie. And X was certainly a character-driven show. I mean, literally half of the show was... Every episode was about a different character. But in talking about the characters, they had interactions with other characters.
Mm-hmm.
And they would fight each other. They would progress the story through the character episodes. You know, you'd have a character that would have to go talk to the princess girl to get information. And even though he was doing that, it was still about him. And through those types of actions, you get information mm-hmm. about the plot. People would fight, people would die, and then at the end there was like a battle royale and everyone got killed basically, except for a fistful of people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to have a character-driven show but you want to have plot, you know, an underlying plot, I think that's the best way to do it.
See, to me, and Kron brings up this point in the chat, that all the story about all the contractors was relevant about Hell's Gate because the contractors are forced into it. I get it, but to me that's like saying we have a show... that's about office workers, but what it's really about is the Japanese banking industry, because they have to get paid, and that's how they live.
What?
It's like one of those things where it's like, just because it's there, that doesn't make the show about it, you know? Like, we have a show that's about magical girls fighting, But what the show is really about is, I don't know, the ribbons, because they're on each of their costumes.
Well, maybe it's the same as Utuwaru Numono. You know, it's apparently about some science experiment or something.
Yeah.
But because that's a whole 4 minutes of the show, and I didn't watch Darker Than Black, so I have no idea how much time they spent on the Hell's Gate.
I mean, they do give it time, but for the length of the show, I was hungry for more. Like, okay. I wanted more story from it than what I felt like I got.
Well, there is a second season.
Yeah.
But if I recall, it did come out sometime later.
I don't know. I feel like it's one of those things where with the show like that, if you have to go into a second season to have the viewer get the story, I don't know. I don't know. Well, leave it to me in the chat, so the second season sucks, so.
Oh, there it is.
There right it is. There.
If it's about Hell's Gate, apparently it didn't do a good job.
I don't know. Maybe, I know I'm going to get hate for that one, but I think it's a good example of how a show can lose its viewer and be boring.
Enjoy the hate.
Because.
Bathe in it.
Yeah.
Okay, Mahime. I've been trying to watch this show to do a user-requested review on it for like a year. And actually, we watched a few episodes of this.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah. Watched a few.
What was it about this show that we just couldn't handle it?
Generic and boring?
Generic and boring? Because I feel like I was interested at first.
You know what I think the other thing was? Is it's one of those shows that goes way over the top. And I know that sometimes that's a lot of fun. But sometimes it's like, whoa, we're in the third episode and you're already unleashing power that can, you know, destroy mountains and stuff like that.
At this point, it's probably not a good anime to talk about because I can hardly remember it at all.
But
I just recall it being... I recall myself wanting to watch it because I was initially interested in what I saw and because I liked the theme song. But, which is a terrible reason to watch an anime, by the way. Don't ever do that. But I also remember it... I also remember not feeling like I had much hope for it because they were starting to throw monsters in there, and I'm getting the Die Guard feeling.
Well, I feel like a Monster of the Week show is always one of those shows that just ultimately ends up having problems, because with a show that's a Monster of the Week show, you know that you can skip ahead like two or three episodes and pretty much not miss anything, and that to me is always a death whenever I'm watching a show, whenever I'm like, oh, I can skip ahead five episodes and not miss anything.
Oh, of course. Okay. So, you want to throw out one more, and then I got another good one.
All right. I'm going to throw out Umeneko no Naku Koroni, which I feel like you might have more ultimately to say about than I do, because I only watched parts of it, and you actually watched the whole thing. But,
Wasn't tremendously thrilled with it.
I feel like it's another one of those shows that maybe just didn't succeed in what it was trying to do. I mean, that's really what the impression I got from it. It just didn't... I mean, it didn't... It fell flat.
This is a show that it falls under the category of Ergo Proxy. And I know that a lot of people like this show. And I'm sorry that you... And I appreciate your opinion. But the show does a bad job of conveying what it's about, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember, but I remember not understanding what was happening. And it was very violent, and I was initially very interested in it because, one, it's from the creator of Higurashi, if I recall.
Yeah, I think so.
So I was immediately interested in it for that reason. And also, you know, it was about, you know, having to find something before everyone gets killed. But
yeah,
that was what the synopsis was, but I know that that wasn't really what the show was about. And, you know, you have the whole chess game going on between the two. I can't even remember enough about it to really opine on it that well, but I know that I was uninterested in it in the beginning. You know, one problem is that they kept bringing back the characters that were killed.
Mm.
And I was just like, what the hell is happening? Because they would kill a character, and they would kill half the characters, and then five episodes later, they would all be alive again. And I'm just like, what is going on? I just don't get it.
But was it in, like, a cool Higurashi kind of way? Because they kind of do that in Higurashi.
No, this anime is more complicated than Higurashi. Higurashi is not a complicated anime to watch, especially in the first season. And actually, I want to mention Higurashi also, because I think it falls into this category as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to watch an anime and really keep up with it when you don't understand what's happening. So
yeah,
it falls into that category. Higurashi also is one that I think falls into this grouping because the first season only. Because in the first season, everyone gets killed in the first four episodes. And then everyone comes back. And then everyone gets killed again in the next four episodes.
Yeah.
And everybody loves watching these kids get massacred because that's what people know of Higurashi. But I imagine that even though I didn't feel like this, some people probably would feel like, wow, why do I need to watch them get killed for the fifth time? I might as well just stop because there's nothing else.
Yeah.
And they're right. That it really is unnecessary. I mean, they could have stopped it after eight episodes because the first season of Higurashi is about the endless cycle of death and rebirth that Rika has to go through.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't even discover that until the second season.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's one of those things that maybe it would have been better to allude or foreshadow or give a heads up, you know, kind of thing.
I just think they were taking their sweet time with it. And it obviously worked because Higurashi was vastly popular when it came out.
Yeah.
I'll throw another one out here just to end the topic. Those Who Hunt Elves is a show that many people haven't seen because it's older. But, this is a show where people get transported into a magical land full of elves. And they have to find, I'm trying to remember, there's a spell that can bring them back to their homeland. And have you seen this?
I have not.
Okay. There's a... You said old school, so I thought maybe you knew.
Well, I know of it. I never finished or watched it.
There's some spell on a scroll, I think, that can transport them back to their home. But through some strange events, the spell gets messed up and the magical words from it get scattered all throughout the world. And they get tattooed onto different... like girl elves, they're always girls, I think,
of course,
under their body. And so the whole anime is about hunting down these elves and stripping their clothes off and trying to find the pieces of the spell, which is a really kind of a funny premise. But the problem is that this show is, it's on the longer side. I think it's 26 episodes, two 13 episode seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it's the same thing every episode. And
yeah.
I think it just gets boring. I mean, there's no real reason to watch the show all the way through. You could watch episode 5 through 8 until you get bored of it, then skip to 20, and then watch, like, you know, 22 through 24, and then you're done.
Yeah.
But a lot of anime suffer this problem. I have more on my list, but I actually have Slam Dunk on my list, too.
Mmm.
I just thought Slam Dunk was a little bit too dry. It was too dry by current sports anime standards for me. I did like it. Also, it's intimidating because it's 100 and some episodes. So.
All right. Well, that was the topic. Agree. Disagree. Go, anime addicts, into our community and talk on the forums about what you think and anime you think that fizzled long before they should have. But we are going to take a short anime news break, and then when we come back, we have two impressions for you and two reviews. So don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned.
Saviors from alternate dimensions out there, this is Chiaki, and this is your Anime News Break. First up, Road to Ninja, Naruto the Movie, has become the highest-grossing Naruto film, making 1.46 billion yen, which is just over 18 million US dollars, between its opening on July 28th and September 23rd. The film has been seen 1.25 million times. The film had topped 1 billion yen, about 13 million in revenues, just 17 days after it opened. The 2004 Naruto movie Ninja Clash in the Land of Snow had previously held the record, grossing 1.37 billion yen, or just over 17 million US dollars. Last year's Naruto Shippuden Blood Prison film earned only 800 million yen, which is just 10 million US dollars. But it is clear that the Naruto movies are widely, widely popular. In other news, the limited edition version of the Sword Art Online Infinity Moment game for the PSP will bundle the Together with Asuna Ankara Date Edition DVD. The animated disc will feature an original story from Kirito's perspective with high-precision 3D character modeling. The limited version will also include a game special movie CG animation DVD that ties in with the Ankrad story arc in Endgame. A special box art by Albeck, original game soundtrack CD, special booklet, and original custom PSP game theme will complete the limited edition set. Bandai Namco Games has slated this Live in This Moment with You RPG game for release in Japan on March 14, 2013. If this sounds like something that you cannot live without, the regular and downloadable versions will cost 6,280 yen, which currently is almost 80 US dollars. Well, the limited edition will retail at 9,980 yen or about 125 US dollars. So, pretty fancy price tag for this game. In other news, manga creator Shuho Sato of Say Hello to Blackjack and the Isle of Tokyo said on Friday that he is cutting ties with Fuji TV. As a result, Sato said there would absolutely be no more live-action films based on his Umizaru Coast Guard manga. Sato claimed that Fuji TV flooded his agency with sudden interviews about an appointment. He said that the first time this happened, the chief producer of Fuji TV News Center did apologize to him. However, Sato said he received no apologize when it happened again. In addition, Sato claimed that Fuji TV sold Umizaru film-related books without a contract. Sato said on his Twitter account that he is very angry with Fuji TV and the company no longer deserves his trust. So it sounds like he was out there burning some bridges. So if those live-action adaptations are something that you cannot live without, well, unfortunately, it sounds like you're going to have to be living without them. So this was Chiaki, and this was your Anime News Break. Don't go anywhere. I cry when you do. No, I really do. I'd start crying right now, but, you know, the microphones and whatnot, it's a mess. But don't go anywhere. We'll be back to the show soon.
Everybody, Kyokai here, welcoming you to Metaverse, home to fangirls Bishis and Bijins. We go over anime news and discuss all things related to the fandom of any manga and everything in between.
It was like watching two kittens roll over each other. The day Kurosu Suji 2 ended, the next day ended up dressing like all in black just because I was so sad.
My favorite color is sleep.
Orange Kaon for the music. I guess not.
That was low, man. Below the belt.
We are an experienced anime blogging site, giving us the expertise to dish out detailed opinions on which series to watch and when to drop. Head over to metanon.net and enter the metaverse. After all, we take fangirling seriously.
Hi, my name is Sonny Strait, voice of Krillin from Dragon Ball Z, and I'm an anime addict.
Kamehameha, bitches!
And we're back to the 152nd of the episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, where we continue to make your anime addiction worse by giving you impressions on the new anime this season.
Live from Japan. True story.
So, Mitsugi, do you want to go first, or would you like me to?
I think you should go first.
Me? Okay. Yeah. So, the anime that I am giving an impression on today is Magi, or Magi, depending on how you choose to pronounce that. It is just Magi. Some people say Magi Labyrinth of Magic, but
ooh,
I know,
fancy stuff.
So Magi is the one I'm going to be calling it. Magi, Magi. I think it'll be Magi. I deem it Magi from here henceforth.
In Japan, they probably call it Magi.
Yeah, probably. But I think it's relating to the Magi, as in like old Arabic,
you know,
Middle East or Middle Eastern, like.
You can call it whatever you want. How about that?
Anyways, so this is the one that takes place in kind of like a Middle East-esque world. The main character is Aladdin. And we meet Aladdin much as you would expect to meet a character called Aladdin.
Aladdin? Really?
Yeah, Aladdin.
Wow. Well, from just glancing at it, I did not think that was what it was about.
Well, it's not. I mean, it's not about. It's not the story of Aladdin. The main character's name is just Aladdin. And so meet Aladdin as he has befriended Alibaba. And Alibaba is kind of this, he's a young man who's looking to make it rich. And in this world, there are these things called dungeons, and they randomly started appearing. And if you conquer a dungeon, you get all of the wealth and riches. And inside there are things like djinn lamps, like genies.
Yeah.
Djinn lamps,
but
or djinn treasures.
Are they evil?
I don't think so, no.
Because djinns are normally not friendly.
You have the djinn lamps, and you have just what you'd expect, you know, mass amounts of wealth and things like that. And so he wants to conquer it. And in the first episode, you know, they kind of, it's basically, yay, we're meeting the characters.
Yay.
And one of the things that I had some respect for it right off the bat is, like, they have slaves. I mean, there are slaves in this anime because
how ballsy.
There would be slaves back then. And I just kind of like it because it's not, and I know people make it that way, and I know it is that little bit of fan service for the people who really want to look for it. But, like, it's not what they could make it, you know? If you're going to have an anime with slaves in it, they could have easily made it, like, one of those things where, you know, oh, I'm a slave, and I'm wearing nothing, and, oh, yes, master, blah, 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 you know, like, that kind of thing.
Wow, it looks amazing.
And they didn't do that. So Aladdin befriends Alibaba, and he's kind of hanging out with him. And Aladdin's like, you said there are djinn lamps inside dungeons. And Alibaba's like, yeah. And he's like, okay, I promised my friend Ugo that I would look for djinn relics. And he wears a flute, and inside the flute is a djinn who he has befriended named Ugo. And when he summons Ugo, he can only summon... he can only summon his body. He can't summon his head, so the flute's just sticking out, so he looks headless. But whenever Aladdin summons him, he calls it the power of his stomach, but I think what he means is just, like, his general energy, because he gets really hungry after he summons him, and he needs to, like, rest and eat and stuff like that.
As long as he's not wearing a clock, and the clock, like, has his lifetime in it.
No.
Okay,
it's not life energy, as in, I think it's just, like, one of those things where it just saps your well-being.
So it's not Chrono, like, Crusade?
No.
Oh, thank God.
It just exhausts you.
So did Chrono Crusade.
Anyways, so it has kind of, like, Aladdin has these moments where, you know, he's really cute and silly, but he's also, like, one of those characters that's, like, really cute and silly and, you know, is young, and then one of those, he'll say or do something that's kind of, like, that deep wisdom beyond his years, kind of, like, say or do something. Like, at one point, they're in the dungeon, and he's talking to the slave girl. And he's like, I want you to take me to your homeland. And she's like, I can't, I'm a slave, I can't go home. And he's like, I can cut your chains for you again. Because he earlier he got Ugo to cut her chains. Mm. So that way she, as he said it, wouldn't have to hide her pretty legs. And so
your legs are so pretty. Well,
she
stroke them.
She was walking through the market and she kept trying to cover them because she's ashamed, you know, kind of
Why?
Thing. Because she's from a different area. They call it the Darklands, but she's like, they only call it the Darklands because it's not the lands that they perceive as being civilized. And so she's like, but there are, you know, there's a lot of culture and things like that. And so it's not like she was born into slavery. It's not the only thing she knows.
Okay.
So that's why she's like, you know, she's from like a proud people kind of thing. And that's why she's ashamed of it.
All right.
And
I'll buy it.
And she's like, it doesn't work that way. You can't just cut the chains and have them go. And Aladdin looks at her and goes, well, he's like, oh, so there are invisible chains keeping you here. And he's like, so when you are able to cut your own invisible chains, then we can go. And so like,
he says that?
Yeah.
He looks like he's about 6 in the in the video.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, he has those moments where, you know, he seems really, really young and really, really childish. And they kind of chibi-ify him for humor at various points. But
he looks chibi right now in the video.
Yeah, he is. But then he'll say... But even when he's not chibi, he's still pretty young. But then he'll say or do something that's kind of like a wisdom beyond, you know, beyond his years. Or like, at one point, there's, Ali Baba is indebted to like this man and, you know, he's helping him out with something. And the man is basically talking about, you know, how slaves are almost like akin to cattle. They're not worth anything. Or, well, they are worth something. They're only worth like money. They're not life. And so,
that's harsh.
And yeah. And so, Ali Baba just kind of, you know, bites his tongue and agrees. And later on, Aladdin's like, you know, I admired you because when it was your pride and your ideals, you didn't get angry and you sucked it up. But when another person's life was actually in danger, you rushed to save them. Because mm-hmm. he rushed to save a slave later on, even though it meant, you know, basically getting himself in trouble. And so at the end of the third episode, they've conquered a dungeon and they've introduced that Aladdin is, and this is how I'm interpreting it, is a Magi, which are people who are descendants of like Solomon, the King Solomon, who are like wise men who are destined to choose and to groom future kings.
It's your destiny.
To
be a king.
Yes.
And to train kings.
Yes.
And to be a chibi man.
Yes.
And to have a flute.
Okay.
And to have blue hair.
Yes. And so we find that out at the end of the third episode. But so far I'm really liking the show. I think I have seen the level of depth which it'll have, because I think it's ultimately like a fun shonen-y show and not like a, we're going to tackle deep philosophical issues. But it has enough depth and it takes things seriously enough that it doesn't feel like it's being stupid about it, you know?
Yeah.
But it also isn't being bogged down by it. It's still really fun to watch. The characters are really great. They've already foreshadowed, you know, they've foreshadowed a number of different times, you know, that there's more, of course there's more to Alibaba than what you think, than just like kind of street urchin making ends meet type of thing. So that'll be cool. I don't know. I have really high hopes for this. I really, really, really enjoyed the first three episodes. Like I definitely, definitely really enjoyed it. So I'm hoping it stays at least as good as what the first three episodes have been. Like there was one guy who was just so twisted. Like he had a slave who was this big Goliath like slave, and whenever he got angry, he would start ranting and poking him with his sword. So not enough that he was actually like stabbing him and like injuring him, but just like poking him like a half inch or whatever with the tip of his sword, and would repeatedly do that as he ranted, and then would like, when the guy couldn't take it, like he'd fall to the ground and he'd start kicking him in the side just as he was ranting about something.
Mm.
Like, so.
The show seems really excellent. I'm just looking at it, and it looks great. I haven't seen anything inappropriate, and it's been 10 minutes. No, it hasn't. How many? I don't... It's been 3 minutes, and I haven't seen anything inappropriate in the anime yet, and this is anime. That's a big step. But yeah. the characters look nice. It's well drawn. It looks like it has the potential for a serious story, and it's actually pretty interesting. So
yeah, I mean I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it for what it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the perfect example of it knows what it is and it's not trying to be what it isn't.
Right.
But it's also not trying to be stupid in the process of being what it is. So I enjoyed it, and I hope that there's more to come. So if you like shonen e shows, this is probably one for you from this new one for you to try, at least from this new season.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
It looks very good. I'm glad that you know, we have a good anime to talk about today.
At least one.
My anime that I'm talking about is Zion Saga DT, and it's based on a fantasy video game. And the director is Shinji Takamatsu. So it's I picked it up because it's I get suckered into watching anime that are based on games, or animes that are based on MMOs, or, you know, like Dot Hack.
Mm-hmm.
And this anime, I enjoyed the first episode. It's about this guy who, he's playing an MMO in the beginning of the game, and it's interesting how they depict it, because he's wearing a headset, you know, so they show his actual person, they show the real him on the headset, you know, talking or whatever. And then they show the in-game him. So they do something that, like, Dot Hack doesn't do, really. At least for the most part. And then in the middle of the first episode, he gets transported into this world that I assume is his MMO that he's playing. And that's there's not really a whole lot of explanation behind that. Perhaps I missed it, but I don't think so. And he just gets sucked into this world, and there's not a whole lot of question about why it happened, which kind of makes me wonder, like, what the hell? Because if it was me, right, and I was sitting here, and yeah. I suddenly got sucked into my computer, and I was in, like, this anime, I wonder what the hell was happening, right? So he meets up with these two people that are protecting a princess, and one of them is like a gunner chick. She has like handguns, and the other one is a big hulking guts type dude with a huge sword.
Woo!
And there's like an empire trying to. Apparently, it's obvious in the chat that someone teleported him in, which to me still doesn't make much sense, but. So he's traveling with these people that are protecting the princess.
I'd still probably be like, you know, to be honest, if someone teleported me into a different dimension, I'd still probably be like, even if I knew they teleported me, I'd still probably be like, what the hell?
Well, there's almost no discussion about it at all. I mean, I think it was mentioned for about 40 seconds, and then they move on to other things. So he starts tagging along with these two people and this princess, and they're being pursued by this empire. And so, right off the bat, he actually enters the world in the middle of a conflict where this empire is trying to overtake the swordsman and the gunner girl so they can take the princess. He ends up falling into the world and landing on top of the leader of the army, of the empire army that's in the area, and so all the foot soldier guys scatter.
Yeah.
And so he's, like, deemed this mysterious guy who ambushed the leader, and, you know, he's mistaken to be this powerful fighter, and even though he's basically a weakling and there's nothing about fighting. So they travel around. Later on, they meet up with another guy from the Empire who's supposed to be quite a bit stronger, and he has a special sword that has an Alma on the hilt. An Alma is like a gemstone that contains energy. He uses the sword to basically obliterate but he doesn't kill them, the swordsman and the gunner. And so, at this point in the show, it sounds like an action series, because you have the premise of, oh, well, I want to fight this guy, and here's a weapon that has magical powers, and I'm wielding it, and it appears to be some kind of at least a fantasy-based action show. Mm-hmm. But then, right in the middle of the fight, the boy who I haven't cared to look up his name because it's not important, he runs up to the dude and kicks him in the balls right as he is charging up his attack. Okay, and unfortunately, that was the point where the show stopped being good for me, because up until that point I was tentative, but you know, I was thinking, oh, it's not terrible, it has some hope. But then they spend half of the next two episodes making ball jokes about this guy, because he gets kicked in the ball so hard that one of them has to be removed, okay? And so they have like a 3-minute running gag where every time he's talking to his servant, to his you know, the soldiers that are under him, and they're talking about, they keep using words that have tama in it, which means ball, and every time the guy hears that, he's reminded about the fact that he only has one ball. And then he starts walking, like, sideways, like, as if only having one ball would make you lose your balance.
I wouldn't know. I don't have balls.
It goes on from that, too, because they travel around, and he basically pursues them again, and he shows up in a tank, which really seems very out of place, because this world originally appeared to be, you know, Record of Lodoss War-type swords and magic, and I guess the girl does have a handgun, but I didn't expect to see a tank.
So here's my question, though.
With laser targeting.
Okay, yeah, it's incredibly stupid. Is it funny, though? Is it one of those shows that, like, that's its thing, that's its shtick, and so it does it well?
Okay, well, let me continue with the ball jokes, because they're not actually over. So he can't aim the tank properly because he's off balance, so he keeps missing, right? And then he eventually gets out of the tank and wants to fight. And the guy kicks him in the balls again. Where he gets hit in the balls again. And so he has to have the other ball removed. And, like, I guess it could be funny, but I didn't laugh. I didn't. And at the end of the third episode, I was left with myself thinking, you know, I thought this was going to be an action show about an MMO. And it's actually very heavy on the slapstick comedy, which I was not happy with, because I do not like slapstick comedy. And so I kind of don't like it. You know, it's not the worst thing I've ever watched, but it's not, if you're watching it to watch a fantasy action show about an MMO, I don't think that's what this anime is. You know, it's going to have action undertones in it, but it's also going to be heavy on comedy.
Uh-huh.
And I worry that I know nothing about this game at all. Nothing. But because the entire three episodes up until this point have been about them being pursued by this empire. I'm calling them an empire. I have no idea if they are. They're being pursued by this military group. I had this fear that half of the show is going to be about them just traveling from town to town, and then they fight them at the end of every episode again, and they're just going to keep winning. And then eventually they'll lose, and they'll take the princess from them, and then, like, the next four episodes will be about getting the princess back, and in the process they'll topple the empire. I don't know. I'm just guessing, but I'm just a little bit worried that it's going to end up being an episodic, I defend the princess every episode, move on, next town, some filler gag type stuff in the middle of the episode, then a fight at the end.
You know,
it seems very ordinary.
I hate to say this, because there's no way to say it that it doesn't come out wrong. But I'm just gonna say it. How many adults really like slapstick comedy? Like, really like it? I mean, I don't really like slapstick comedy.
Someone in the chat mentioned that I shouldn't be watching the show because I have a bias against comedy, which is completely untrue. I don't like dumb fart joke comedy. It's a huge difference. But to answer your question, there are people that like slapstick comedy, but this show is.
I'm trying to think, though, like, of the adults that I know, just personally, and then.
Well, it's probably not, and obviously this show is not intended for adults.
I know.
But even amongst slapstick, there's different types of slapstick. Like, you can have adult-oriented slapstick comedy.
That's true.
And then you have, like, they literally spent 8 minutes on his balls got kicked. That was, I'm not joking, it was 8 minutes. At least 8 minutes. I didn't actually count, but it seemed to me, at this point, I'm honest to God, 3 episodes. This anime is about a guy who has his balls destroyed. That's what it's about.
So
I don't know. I'm not
so
sure what it's
not
about,
even the
really.
The fact that it's slapstick, but the fact that it's bad slapstick.
I can't opine on that because I don't like slapstick, not all of it. I'm okay with more mature slapstick, but I certainly didn't laugh at the fact that he got his balls crushed the first time, and then the 8 minutes afterwards.
I mean,
I didn't really find it necessary.
Again, I just feel like it's one of those things that. I feel like you can have good slapstick, but it's very difficult, and it's one of those things where it's just hard to do in such a way that doesn't come off as being just like... Most of the time when I watch slapstick, I'm just going, oh my god, this is so dumb. Like, and that's... I'm not even laughing. I'm just like, ugh, it's so dumb.
People in the chat are wondering what mature slapstick is. It's about... when I say that, I'm referring to the subject matter. I mean, you can make a slapstick joke about anything. But when it's about, like, testicles and stuff, that's the opposite of what I call mature. So, like, have you ever seen the movie Airplane? You've never seen... Well, I mean, like, that's not a quote-unquote mature movie, but at least the slapstick jokes in that movie aren't... They're not... about balls. They use wordplay and, you know, a number of other things. Sometimes it's goofy, but...
Do you know what slapstick is, like, by definition?
Maybe you should explain it.
I mean, slapstick by definition is like, oh, I'm trying to clean the yard. Oh, I stepped on the rake. It hit me in the face. I stumbled back into this ladder that I had a bucket on of paint, and the paint fell on me, and it covered me in paint. Oh, no, I'm covered in paint, and the wind started blowing, and the leaves that I just raked blew all right,
so
over
based on
me
what
coated...
I said, based on what I've said, do you consider it slapstick?
I consider the anime slapstick. I wouldn't consider wordplay slapstick. Wordplay is wordplay.
Mm, all right, perhaps. But, I mean, being... There's a big difference between, like, having paint dumped on you and having leaves stick to you and then having, like, the whole half of an episode and being about a guy's testicles.
See, I think for slapstick to work, honestly, and this might be where the anime fails and you can say yes or no, but with slapstick to work... You have to have joke after joke after joke after joke.
Uh-huh.
That's when I laugh at slapstick. Because like I said, in the series of events that I was just explaining, the guy steps on the rake. The guy hits himself in the face. The guy stumbled back. He hits the ladder. The paint falls on him. The leaves coat him. His wife walks out. She screams. You know, he tries to run to help her. Bumps into a child. The child screams and runs away. He gets arrested. Like, you know, like, it keeps going. And I feel like slapstick fails when you do one joke and then you obsess over that one joke following it.
All right, so just to end the impression, because I guess it's going long, but it's not an action show. It's a comedy show. Did not expect that. You know, I don't spend, you know, a ton of time. If it's about a game, so I didn't play the game beforehand. Or it's at least... It was supposed to be based on a game or have some kind of connection. But... It's not an action show. It's goofy. It's about a goofy guy in a goofy MMO world. And if that's the kind of thing you like, that's cool. And there are people that like that. I'm not gonna say it sucks because it saying that completely depends on what kind of thing you're interested in. But so if the description sounds like you'd like it, I think it's worth a watch maybe. But you know, I'm worried that it's gonna be, as I said, kind of redundant over and over again. So, what were you reviewing today?
I am reviewing Dakara Boku wa Eich ga Dekinai, which will probably be shorter than my impression.
Okay, mine's sort of the same way.
Okay.
So,
Dakara Boku wa Eich ga Dekinai, or So I Can't Play H. Or, So I Can't Play Hentai, or general perversion, because normally H in Japanese culture refers to hentai. So, yeah. This anime, it's the one about a dude who meets a chick in the rain who's, you know, sopping wet and mostly naked, and she's like a Grim Reaper, like, demigoddess, you know, whatever you want to call, and she makes a contract with him. And in the contract, she shoves the sword into his chest, shoves a sword into his chest that is some kind of legendary bullshit.
And by sword, is it his penis?
No, his almost. Penis? Almost. Does that, and apparently he already had the other part of that, half of that legendary sword, in him, and I don't know. The show was awful.
Roko would have loved it.
There are 4 titties in the first episode. 4 titties. Or, no, there are 4 titties in every opening.
It's clearly not enough.
And when I say titties, I mean nipples. There are nipples in every episode.
Straight up nips.
Normally hard.
Well, obviously.
Apparently, they get power from his perverted spirit. So they have to be ecchi and turn him on for him to recharge his energy. And of course, you know, he ends up kind of falling in love with, Lirisa or whatever, and they have a thing, and I don't know. It's stupid. Like, first off,
how about the one scene where he pushes her face into his crotch?
I mentioned that
because it was pretty funny.
His kingdom is sparkling, and
I think you should actually do a play by play.
Okay, so
because she was a devil girl, I kind of like that.
All right. So, she's up on the school roof fighting something. This other girl is trying to get him to make a contract with her because they all like his massive power. And by power, they mean penis. Which I can only assume. And so, she's like, my titties are bigger than hers. You should like me more. I'm changing in front of you. And she really does change in front of him. And then, like, he's not getting, like, as aroused as she wanted him to. And so, like, then another girl runs in and she's like, oh, this other girl's in trouble. Come up to the roof. And so he goes up to the roof and he's like, I'm going to save you. And she's like, you can't. You liked her other titties better. And he's like, I only have eyes for your titties. And he's like,
What a lie that is.
My heart only glows with passion for your boobs. And so as he's saying this, he stands up, charges his energy and shoves her face into his crotch, and she's like, oh my god, his power is his kingdom is massive.
Oh my god.
And like when she pulls away, she has like this weird look of satisfaction on her face, and
as damn well she should.
Then she has the power to defeat the thing, and by the end all the girls' nipples are showing because of course their costumes get destroyed in every battle, especially around the boobs. You think they would fortify the costume better if they were gonna do it like that,
but that would defeat the purpose. Yeah. Roko would have loved this.
Anyways, Roko probably would have loved this. He probably would have loved it. He probably would have admitted that it's, you know, piece of shit, but he probably would have eaten it up.
So it's a Queen's Blade anime. It's an anime.
It's awful. It's
a hentai wrapped in an anime package.
And, you know, the problem is that I really would have rather them just have sex. Like, they get so close. There's one time where he's naked and a girl is naked on top of him, and she's like, I want to do you to save the world. And he's like, I only have eyes for this other tree. Like, it's awful. It's one of the most awful pieces of shit I've watched in a long time.
Really?
Because
wow.
It's basically softcore porn wrapped in an anime package that's like, we're gonna have a story that's some kind of like, that like, I don't know. It's just dumb and I hated it and I resent every moment that I watched it. So it's getting a 0.5 titties out of 5 because I want to give it, might as well be a hentai because it really should. It should just be a hentai. They should just put sex in it.
So I have to ask, it does have the word H in the title. So like, what were you thinking when you picked it?
It was like 14 on my list.
Hmm.
No, I mean, I expected it to be a perverted piece of crap. It's not like this fact shocked me about the anime. I knew what the title meant, and I knew what it meant going into it. But, like, we gotta watch anime, and everyone gets stuck with something dumb. And this was my pittance from last season. But, I mean, I'm trying to find something redeeming about this show.
Did it at least look nice? I mean, it's new.
Eh.
It didn't even look good.
It looked what you'd expect shows nowadays to look like, but I didn't look at it and go, that's awesome character design, or the animation's great, or whatever else. But, like, you know, I wasn't expecting anything different, especially with a title like that. But I think the thing for me that just makes me hate it on it even more is I just don't know why shows like this exist. Because it is so far past the line of anything that's appropriate that, seriously, why don't you just make a hentai? I'm not saying that, like, in our stupid, like, it might as well be a hentai way. I'm saying, like, why didn't they make it a hentai? Like, legit. Because you can't show this on TV. You can't market it to kids.
Late at night, maybe.
Maybe. And people...
How does it get passed is, like... It makes me wonder... I don't know, but it makes me wonder what the criteria is for an anime to be considered hentai versus it being considered just animation, because I wonder where the line is crossed. What does it have to contain for it to be considered hentai? And it's probably penetration or something, but...
Well, I mean, pubic hair, I think, is when it becomes pornography, which is why they... Pubic hair and sex acts, but...
Okay. So you done?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was done a while ago.
You were done. You were done after like the third episode, probably.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So, I had the pleasure of watching an anime called Kono Naka ni Hitori de. I'm trying to remember the title. The whole title's name. It means my little sister is among them. Naka Emo is the shortened title. Oh my. Oh my goodness. It's Kono Naka ni Hitori Imoto ga iru, which is it was a bit worse than I had initially expected. I don't remember what my initial thoughts were.
I remember what mine were for mine. It sucks.
I thought this was going to be bad, but I didn't think it was going to be as bad as it actually was. It's about a boy named Shogo who is the son of a industrial powerhouse guy. He owns a company, the Mikadono Group. So he's the heir to a large company, a large group of companies, and for whatever reason his father dies and says that he must find a girl at school and marry her, otherwise he cannot inherit the family's fortune or whatever. So he goes to a school with that goal in mind. So he goes to a school with the whole point is to find a chick and get married, I guess. But he finds out that his sister, who he hasn't seen in years, is in the school someplace, and he doesn't know who she is. So he has to be very careful about who he's dating and whatever, because he doesn't want to date his sister. Oh my god. So, you know, whatever. And it's... At this point, it's kind of funny because it has at least an interesting premise. He's trying to date girls... He has to be careful about it. Anime has this problem, okay? This anime could have been funny, I think, because if it had been about him trying to find girls, and even though he's this rich kid, you know, who's not like one of those pussy I wear glasses and I'm a nerd kids, you know, like Love Hina style.
Yeah.
But the anime has no chase in it. Like, I think it would be much more interesting if he had to work and find a way to get a girl. Like, as if, you know, the girls weren't interested in him. And so he had to put forth the effort to find a girl, court her, get married, etc. But they literally just throw themselves at him. It takes away all the interest. There's several girls on the show. There's like four or five of them. It's a harem show. And they just throw themselves at him, literally. And they all call him brother, all of them. So I wonder, why does it even matter if he if his sister's in the school. They all call him brother anyway. So there's like a ton of, in my opinion, there's a ton of incest undertones in the show, you know, and I just don't see why it matters if he dates his sister or not, because at this point they all want to be his sister anyway, you know, they're having sex. Oh brother, oh my gosh, you know why, it just doesn't matter. So throughout the course of the show, it basically is all these girls just fighting over him, throwing themselves at him, and then he'll get like a phone call from his sister and she'll, you know, tease him and egg him on a little bit, and that's most of the show. Like, most of the show is, oh, here's some chicks, they're fighting over me, they're gonna lay down on top of me naked at night, but we're not gonna have sex, you know, whatever. And then he wakes up the next morning, gets a phone call from his sister. She's like, I'm watching you and you're being so naughty, I like that about you, Oni-san. You know, that's exactly what the show is. For the first, you know, 9 or 10 episodes.
All right, so in other words, both of our anime were
pretty terrible.
Were terrible and created for the pervs who apparently are super pervy and want to watch porn but don't want to actually cross the line and watch real porn. So
I don't
watch this.
I don't think that there's no possible way I could recommend this show to anybody. It's at least your show is pretty much porn, so you could be like, if you want to watch some porn, cool, watch it.
I couldn't get off to it, but I guess
there, even amongst the harem genre, which is obviously not good. I don't even know why. I don't know who. I'm not sure who's watching these. Who is it? Who's watching harem shows?
People who
you know who it is. It's people who can't get a girl.
Yeah.
And I hate to put it like that, but I think that's probably it.
I wouldn't date a guy that watched harem shows. Just saying.
So, the show, I really can't recommend it. It's not really that funny. In terms of being a harem, I think there are better shows. I mean, even Love Hina is better. So, just to make my point. There's really no romance element to it at all. And you don't find out who his sister is until the very end, which I guess is appropriate somehow. And I won't bother, I'm not going to spoil it, but I don't see how it matters. So I'm going to give it a 1 out of 5. So it might as well be a hentai. It could have been. I mean, there's several instances in the show where they're literally laying on top of him straight naked. And they're just like, take me now. Oh my god, take me now. Even two of them at a time. And he never does anything like that. He really should. But in his mind, he's like, she might be my sister. Oh my god. But like I said, I don't see why it matters, because they all consider him their brother anyway. So no matter who he ends up with, they're going to be calling him brother, you know, during the act. So, I mean, what can you do?
So messed up.
But this show was exceptionally hard to watch. Looking back, I think I'd rather watch Comfer. At least Comfer had action in it.
Wow.
At least Comfer had action, a little bit of it from what I saw, and it had some gratuitous like fan service. This show really didn't even have fan service.
Everyone, did you hear that? A show just got lower than Comfer.
I think I'd rather watch Comfer. At least I could watch some mediocre fight scenes and, you know, have over sexualized characters. I mean, if you want to watch an incest anime, just go watch hentai. Oh. I don't know what else to say. Oh my god, so much hate tonight. This morning. It's only 11 a.m. now.
Starting the day off right.
Yeah.
With a tall glass of hate.
A tall glass of hate. So, some bad anime. Yeah.
Maji was good.
That's,
I enjoyed
true.
It.
So the lesson from this anime, from this episode, is that Maji's good. You should watch Maji.
Yes. The end.
The lesson from the last anime was that Tari Tari, or the lesson from the last episode was that Tari Tari and JoJo are good.
Yeah.
So there are good animes. Yeah. But we're just, see, the thing is, all of my good anime from last season haven't ended yet. And, well, actually, Gundam Age ended, which brings me to my next point, is that Soul Bro Ryu from Gundam will join us next week.
Yay!
to talk about Gundam Age and other things. But all the shows that ended that I've talked about so far are bad. At least I'm way behind on them, but at least so far. So, like Uchu Kyodai, Hunter x Hunter, still going. So,
Hunter.
So, okay.
All right. Well, everyone, there you have it. The 152nd episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. As always, you can find us at aaapodcast.com, iTunes. Don't forget to drop us a rating on iTunes if you haven't. It really helps us out, especially if you like us. Facebook.com/Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, YouTube.com, and Ustream.tv/channel/Anime-Addicts-Anonymous-podcast. But if you can remember aaapodcast.com, you can get to all that other stuff. So thank you, those of you who joined us on the Ustream. As always, it was a pleasure talking with you.
Indeed.
And taking us out today is Name no Nai Kaibutsu from the anime Psycho Pass by the artist Egoist. So have a great night or day wherever you are in the world.
See you later, guys. See you next week.